You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Toby Altizer, Grant Paulson, Bustin' Loose Baseball. We'll get to the Paul Taboni presser in just a moment. Just kind of rapid fire here, a couple of other guys. You know, we didn't see K-Bert Ruiz again, kind of a scary situation with the concussions. First and foremost, hope, you know, he feels well and that all is okay with him physically. It's kind of unknown right now what the status of, you know, his rehab recovery looks like and, you know, when we'll see him again this offseason. But there's no reason to believe, I wouldn't think, that he wouldn't be at spring training competing for the catching spot again. I'd like to see them do something there to try to add competition. You know, if he was kind of your backup catcher in a perfect world on a first division team, that would probably be the right way to go. But, you know, he is under contract. He's one of the only guys this regime was ever able to get a deal done ahead of arbitration into his free agency years with. Now, they didn't pay him a lot of money. Like, people make a big deal about that, like it was a terrible decision, and he makes next to no money. He signed a deal that made it very obvious. I remember talking to an agent in baseball at that time that was like, what does that contract tell you? And I'm like, I don't know, that the Nats finally got one done. He's like, no, it tells you that he doesn't believe in himself. You know, like that the player and the agent were like, let's get paid as soon as we can get paid. But anyway, so hopefully K-Bert healthy back. We'll see. Robert Hassel, you know, kind of my take on him. I like Hassel's game. I think he could be a very good, like, third outfield option possibly at his best. But I do think if you're a really, really good baseball team, him being your fourth outfielder who could start a couple times a week and play three positions and can come in and run and do some things, I think that's probably long term, like how I kind of envision him. I've just always liked Lyle's hit tool better than Hassel's. But he'll be an interesting guy this offseason too, because again, like, they need arms. Are they going to pay money? Are the owners, the learners, actually going to step up to the plate and give Taboni some cash to, you know, play with? Or does that mean he's got to flip some pieces here and get creative and send Hassel out for like a controllable back of the rotation starter type or something where you've got some talent depth at outfield and someone else has a couple of pitchers? Like, how does that go? So You know, that's kind of the Hassel thought, but if you want to add anything to him.
Yeah, with Hassel, I feel like, to me, they have to make a decision on what they're looking for, because I do think that either him or Jacob Young has some trade value. And when you just look at where this team is at, you think you probably want to add catcher. You probably want to add a first baseman. You probably want to add a starting pitcher or two. I would think that they're going to try to go after a reliever. And that's already naming, what, five, six, seven guys that you're trying to get. Chances are you're not going to pay seven dudes to come over, and you're definitely not shopping in the big time section there. It's all bargain bin stuff if it's that case. And so you're probably going to have to trade for a guy or two. And they have to make a decision, in my opinion, at that point. Which one do you want to keep, Jacob Young or Robert Hassel? And whichever one they opt for, the other one's probably on the odd man out, because you also got to think about some guys you got in the organization coming through too, like Andrew Pinckney can maybe give you something as another dude in there down the line.
Yeah, he's a burner. He's got some pop.
Yeah, so, you know, I think you've got depth in that outfield, so I think one of those guys could be and maybe should be on the move this offseason, like both the dudes, and I think you can count on both guys. Maybe Jay-Y's elite defensively, so I'm not sure if he has a higher ceiling for a trade bait because of the fact that he's so good defensively, but his bat is questionable, and base running wasn't good this year. I think Robert Hassel is just kind of he's good at everything, not great at any one thing, and not bad at anything. So it's just kind of up to which one maybe has the higher ability to bring you something back. But I think ultimately where you go there is probably just whoever can get you the most. You maybe make a move in the offseason and rely on some more guys you have the depth in the organization and the outfield.
Yeah, I also think that his best is yet to come. I mean, he has not gotten to just play and go out there and get like three at-bats a day for 5 weeks in a row and see what that looks like. And that's how you stunt development and make sure a guy doesn't turn into something.
It's also hard to find that too for this team if Lyle's going to continue to
totally
play as well
agree.
As
yeah.
And Cruz. So, you know, maybe
that's
it's
my
in the
point.
Best
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here, right? Like, he might just have to, if you become that get in where you fit in guy, and you can never reach your ceiling probably because
maybe
it's like a twice a week role or whatever.
Maybe it's best interest for the team and for him to go play elsewhere where you get more playing time. And for the Nationals, they can get something back, maybe a pitcher or something that can help them out in the more immediate future as well.
Yeah. A former eighth overall pick, but you know, some questions early in his, you know, career post San Diego, at least of the swing. And it seems like he's ironed some of that out, but now, you know, you wonder about how much damage he can do. Is he good enough to play center regularly? Cause the game, you know, his skill set might work better there. You know, those are the types of things they'll have to figure out. As far as the rotation goes, Mackenzie Gore, probably a better year than the numbers, the 4.17 ERA. He had that one nightmarish stretch of three or four games we talked to him about on the pod right out of the All-Star break that make things look a little bit worse. But, you know, this was, you know, he's an All-Star for a reason. I mean, it's 159 innings and 185 strikeouts, really legit swing and miss stuff. Another progressive step this year for him. He gets better every year. But, you know, his stuff is still too good for his batting average against to be over 250, which is where it was. You know, like him to get to a point where, yeah, he threw in 160 innings this year, but, you know, maybe fewer foul balls and more put away pitches earlier in count contact at times, and he gets deeper into starts. There were some real masterpieces like that, you know, two hitter, seven inning, 13 strikeout game on opening day against the Phillies. And, you know, he sprinkled three or four just dynamite double digit strikeout, seven inning gems in there. He's got a ceiling as an arm and stuff that nobody on this team has had really since, you know, Strasburg or Scherzer. And you know, when he's going at his best, he is an ace starting pitcher. In reality, he's probably like in a World Series caliber first division team, as I say, more of a, you know, a dynamite dominant number two. But this is a legitimate, you know, in a world where there's 30 number one starters in baseball, like he's one of the 30 best pitchers in the game, certainly from a stuff standpoint, a lefty pumping 97. So there's still some growth there. Lord, I think, is a lock for the rotation going into the spring, barring something wild happening. But those are the only two guys, in my opinion, that you can really say that about. Because, you know, as much as we like the innings-eating durability of Jake Irvin, who's kind of their workhorse, you go back to July 4th last year, he's statistically as bad a pitcher in terms of ERA as there is in baseball. I think at the end of the season, he and Mitchell Parker finished dead last and second to dead last in ERA this season at 5.68. Parker actually beat out Irvin. And 5.70. So I think both of those guys pitched themselves like out of
the placeholder spot for a rotation. Then I guess I should add Cade Cavalli to this mix as well, if he's healthy, which is always the question. But if he can come out of spring healthy, Cavalli should definitely be in the rotation as well. Now, he gave up a 290 average against, which is egregious with his stuff. But we saw him flash, you know, 40 strikeouts in 48 innings. Again, the strikeout rate lower than it probably should be when you're throwing 98 and you got the wipeout change that he showed and some of the other stuff that he has. So I'd like to see him take a step. He just needs more innings, more games. But to me, going into the season, before you do anything else, if there's no Gore trade, Gore, Cavalli, Lord are the three guys that are clearly members of this rotation. And then you've got two spots for veterans or, you know, competition.
Yeah, 100%. And I hope it is something where there's competition if they ultimately go within the organization. I hope there's multiple guys that feel like you can fill that role, or I would love for them to go out and sign a couple of guys and then maybe have some flexibility to be able to move some guys around if they need to. But Lord has been so impressive this year. I thought it was crazy that some people were trying to argue that Mackenzie Gore shouldn't have been the pitcher of the year, which he was named, which we'll maybe get into in a future pod, just some of the awards given out by the organization.
Really quickly, hitter of the year was James Wood, deservedly.
Yes.
Pitcher of the year was Mackenzie Gore. I thought that one was pretty obvious. And then the good guy award was Josh Bell. There were a lot of options. I actually voted for Jake Irvin. I don't know who you voted for.
I voted for Irvin. Yeah. We had the same ballot, I think, Wood and Wood, Gore, and Irvin. But the thing is, like, Gore was their best pitcher, so there's no question. I don't think we need to spend we've talked about him plenty. You nailed a lot of the stuff. He needs to be better than he was this season. He also understands that. If there's one thing I don't worry about with Mackenzie Gore now where he's gotten, it's the mentality. It's just about execution. You know, early in his career, it was, is he going to be able to be mature enough on the mound to be able to get past the mistakes? And I think you saw that this season. A lot of times his struggles were just playing out, not throwing strikes or execution. It wasn't necessarily his mentality on the mound. So I think for the most part, everything's there. It's just now about going out and executing it, doing it every fifth day. So I'm not worried about him. The thing that was so impressive, though, watching this year was Brad Lord, to see the ability to go from the rotation to the bullpen, back to the rotation, and kind of moved all over the place in his first big league season and be largely effective wherever he went, where when he went back to the pen, he was probably their best reliever or second best reliever. When he went back into the rotation, he was a top two pitcher for them. Like, he was so impressive to see. He wasn't someone that's thought to have incredible stuff. He's not someone that's thought to be, you know, this elite pitching prospect, but he went out there and did his job. And now it's about building off those things, because we had this same sort of conversation with Mitchell Parker and Jake Irvin over the last couple of years. We're like, man, they've really cemented themselves as guys that you can really depend on and guys that are going to be a part of the rotation. And then look what happened this year with those guys. So it's about building off that, and it's tough to see Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker have the seasons they had this year. Two guys that are so easy to root for, two of my favorite guys to cover on the team, but they just weren't good this year. And for me, they've got to identify what the heck was wrong with Jake Irvin's velocity, because I think it's too easy to ever pin stuff on one thing. But to me, so much of Jake Irvin's struggles this year were because of the velocity, because I think it pinballed into everything else, or excuse me, snowballed into everything else, where the velocity's not there, so we can't get away with as bad a fastball location. So now he has to pitch on the corners, and in turn, he's missing, and now the curveball's not as effective because he can't throw it when he's behind in the count, and its velocity was down, and he's having to paint more, and he can't be as effective because his 95 is now 91, and by the third inning, it's 89, and you're trying to nibble, and now you're walking guys, and now it snowballs, and it's just, if they can figure out what's going on there, I think you can get back to the Jake Irvin we saw before that was an innings eater and an effective pitcher and a really, really good pitcher at times. And for Parker, I don't know what it is, but some days you see him and you're like, man, this dude looks like a legit starting pitcher in this league, and then other days that stuff just isn't there. And I don't know what exactly it is, but they're going to have to identify those things. So we've seen it from both those guys. That's the encouraging part. You know, I've heard a scouting thing before is if you've seen...
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The guy do it once, he can do it again. It's just about finding a way to get him back to that point. So we've seen both those guys have incredible outings on the mound and be really, really effective pitchers. Now it's finding where that is and what happened to those guys and getting it back out of those guys. But you're right. You thought that Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker, at least one of those guys, would cement themselves as guys that you could count on going forward. But with a new executive coming in and looking off the season that they just had, neither one of those guys is a lock to be in the rotation next year. And frankly, I would be surprised if both, maybe one of them has to be, because maybe the checkbooks don't open like we kind of probably expect with ownership.
Right.
But if one of those guys is in the rotation next year, it wouldn't be a shock. But it's just disappointing the seasons that they had, where at least they posted every fifth day. So credit to that. But it became the Patrick Corbin corollary. It was like, okay, they're on the hill, but team doesn't have a chance to win today. And that's disappointing.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
Yeah, so a couple things on Irvin and Parker. Irvin has a value that Parker, frankly, does not. And that is to say that Irvin is a innings-eating, like, dog. You know, he's going to go out there and he'll wear it, and he's going to go 4, 5, 6 innings after, you know, a terrible first inning routinely. And next thing you know, you look up and he's given up 6 runs and it's the 7th inning and he's gotten an out and he's getting pulled from the game. But 5 of the innings were early in the game or whatever. Like, there is just a element of his durability, that big frame, gigantic guy, central casting, kind of 6'6", 235, where like I can make that my 5th starter, but I've got to find that velocity. I've got to get him back to being a more competent starter. But like I here's what I'll say. I would like to be in a place, and I hate saying this about Jake especially. Both of these dudes are awesome guys, like really, really good guys. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to be in a place where I don't need either of them in the rotation. And my pitching staff's a lot better. You know, if they're in the bullpen, or, you know, if Mitchell Parker's at AAA or something like that, right? Because now when I need a starter, I've got that organizational depth. Yes. But if you look at the numbers, like, I mean, pitching run value for Irvin, 1st percentile. Fastball rating, 7th percentile. Breaking ball, 3rd percentile. Off speed, 2nd percentile. Expected ERA, 4th. Expected batting average, 8th. Whiff percentage, so swings and misses, 5th. Strikeout percentage, 6th. Barrel percentage, 3rd. Hard hit percentage, 7th. I mean, this is as rough a savant page as you're going to find. Parker's is minimally better because he doesn't walk. He's basically league average at walking guys. Barrel percentage is 26th percentile. Ground ball rate, 26th percentile. But 1st percentile hard hit, 3rd percentile strikeouts, 10th percentile whiff, you know, 1st percentile average exit velo. Like, I mean, these are really, really gross-looking savant pages at this point. So you got to really like squint and kind of tilt your head to find where, you know, they end up being members of the rotation if you're able to spend a little money. But again, Irvin has had some deposits in the bank, more so than Parker, that I'm at least willing to hear the conversation if he could add some velo and get back to the 2 miles an hour that he lost. On the bullpen, disagree or agree with any of this, but I've got six guys that I think could be in the pen next year that I'm interested in. It could be more than that, but like I think there are four locks based on what we saw. Jose Ferrer, Cole Henry, PJ Poulin, and Clayton Beater. Beater, by the way, was fantastic down the stretch. I don't know if, you know, people may have stopped paying attention, but we've said when they acquired him via trade, like this is a former top round guy who's nasty. If he could stop walking people, he could be a real stud. 21 innings, 32 strikeouts, a 1.16 average against, a 1.02 whip, you know, 24 appearances, and a 2.4 ERA. These are all-star numbers for Clayton Beater, who I really, really like. It's electric. It's 98 from the right side with a nasty slider. So he's someone to watch. Poulin was good left on left. But I think Henry showed enough that he could be a fixture, multi-inning guy, maybe a setup man. Ferrer, I think, has a chance to be a closer. And then I'm throwing Rutledge and Pilkington in the maybe pile as like, you know, we'll see what happens, how many guys you bring in, what it looks like. But, you know, they flashed enough at times. In Rutledge's case, he's very controllable, young, first-round pick that you've developed. But that's kind of my thoughts on the relievers.
Two of my favorite guys to watch the final couple months of the season were Clayton Beater and PJ Poulin. I told you about Poulin all the time, and he's the most unimpressive-looking left-handed reliever. He kind of fits right into that mold of kind of a junk thrower that just spins up a bunch of breaking balls up there. And
he's the opposite of Beater.
Yeah, and that's who I was going to get to in a second, is like Poulin, he throws like 90 at most on his fastball, but he gets dudes out. He's effective. And I like that as like a change up, literally and metaphorically, coming out of the bullpen when you're facing, say, Mackenzie Gore, and here comes PJ Poulin, two totally different looking guys. But he was really effective this season and his opportunity. So excited to see if he can build off of that going into next year. But my favorite dude to watch, and he's spectacular to watch in person, is Clayton Beater. I mean, the stuff is just so evident. It's nasty. The swings he would get, the fastball jumps on you, because not only is it 98, 99, he's got a funky delivery. Like, it feels like he's late, and then it explodes out of his hand, and it's 98, 99. And I don't know how you hit. I frankly don't know how anyone in the big leagues hits with everybody coming out of the pen at these days throwing 99, 100, which is so unique that Poulin's able to find success being the guy that's throwing 90 out of the pen in the modern game. But Clayton Beater, to me, is someone that if Jose A. Ferrer isn't able to take it by the horns and be a closer, if he can throw strikes, Beater's got that kind of stuff too. And so to get those sorts of dudes, you know, for anyone that's going to go out there and advocate to Boney that DeBartolo should stick around, he can look at those two dudes as guys that, hey, keep me around because I was able to bring these two dudes in and they pitched really well down the stretch. And so, yeah, Beater is really, really impressive to watch, and I'm excited to see what he does next year to build off what he was able to do at the end of the year here.
Yeah, he averaged 97 miles an hour with the fastball, threw it 55% of the time, a lot of sliders as well, 45% of the time, 87 mile an hour slider. Poulin, as you said, kind of the opposite. It's 90 miles an hour with a bunch of sweepers and changeups, 78 mile an hour chain, a sweeper, and an 80 mile an hour change that he throws about 20% of the time, which as a reliever is a bunch. So, you know, other than the fastball velocity getting a really poor grade, like a lot of his stuff, including barrel percentage, expecting batting average, the weak contact metrics, really, really good for Poulin, who was claimed. I mean, they got him off the scrap heap. Beater obviously was part of that Rosario trade. So those are DeBartolo success stories.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.